Chapter number 7, Genesis chapter 7 this morning, and we'll pick up at verse number, here this morning, verse number 17, Genesis chapter 7, and verse number 17. Hope everyone's had a good week thus far. Start of a new week here today. Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "And the floods were 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace, dear God. Lord, what a day that'll be, dear God, when we get home to heaven. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to live in the light of that. And so, Lord, now I ask for your help. I pray that you would just lead God and direct your God. Give what's needed this morning. And Lord, just give the scriptures that are needed. And Lord, help us to have ears to hear, Lord, eyes to see, and hearts to receive. And we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 7, verses 17 through 20, we have the floods that were upon the earth for 40 days, the Bible says in verse 17. And it says there in verse number 17, "And the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth." You know, as I was reading through these scriptures, one thing came to my mind here, and I'm thankful that the Lord bears you through the storms of life. What we have here is that we kind of have a picture here in some ways of believers being secure in Jesus Christ. We looked at last week of how God commanded Noah and his family to get into the ark, and then that the Lord shut him in. Noah didn't shut himself in, but God shut him in. And Noah is safe and secure inside that ark. And now the storms start coming, but Noah is upheld, and that ark is upheld by the waters. The waters rise up, and no matter how high the waters rise, the ark is safe, and because God's watching over them, but the waters bear that ark. You know, and as I was looking through this and thinking about it, it is the water of God's word that helps us through the storms of life. It is the water of God's word that embraces us, that upholds us, and keeps us, hopefully, faithful to the promises that God has given us. How quickly does the enemy want you to stay away from the water of the word? You know, when the storms come in our life, all of a sudden we get caught up with the storms, and we look at the storms, and kind of like Peter, we're out there on the water, we're trying to walk by faith and walk towards the Lord Jesus Christ and keep our eyes on him. But we take our eyes off the Lord, and we look around and we hear the boisterous winds and we see the waves, and all of a sudden our eyes are off Jesus and are on what the storm is doing. But God desires for us to keep our eyes upon him and stay steadfast upon the water of his word. Take your Bible, look over at Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 25. Ephesians 5, 25. The waters helped carry that ark through the storm. As the Lord destroyed the earth, the waters upheld it. Look what the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 5. And verse number 25, Ephesians 5:25. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." The washing of the word. Take your Bible, flip over to Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, verse number 11. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Paul goes on to tell Timothy in verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. That we would live a life, brethren, that's sober, that we live a life that's righteous and a life that's godly when in this present world looking for that blessed hope. Now, I want you to take your Bible, look over at Psalm 119. The waters bear the ark. The waters bear the ark. I'd like to liken those waters to the Word of God this morning. Look at Psalm 119 and look at verse number 50. Psalm 119, verse number 50. The Bible says here in Psalm 119 and verse number 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. For thy word hath quickened me. It's made me alive. It's helped me when? In my afflictions. You see, the word of God will give you comfort during afflictions. Take your Bible, look over at verse 81, same chapter. Psalm 119, verse number 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. And lastly, look over at verse number 116. 116. Look what the psalmist says here. Talking about the ark and how it was upheld by those waters. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Upheld by the water, upheld by the word of God, he says here, that he may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Brethren, what's our hope today? Our hope today is that the Lord Jesus Christ will hopefully come back soon. Brethren, I pray that. It says there in Revelation, even so, Lord, come quickly. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ, please come quickly. Now, I don't know about you, but the days are getting darker. Things are getting more spiritual, and the battle is getting more real. For those that are striving to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and stay in his word and try to learn his word and draw nigh to him, brethren, this is not the day and the hour to be getting sidetracked by worldly things. This is definitely not the time to get sidetracked. Brethren, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Brethren, it is impressed upon my soul heavily, that I don't believe we have much more time left in this sense, in that what we know right now. And you say, well, preacher, you say that every week. Yes, I do. And I believe it's getting closer and closer and closer. And we're foolish if we look to the ways of this world and to the affairs of this life and what's going on around us as if it will always stay this way. Brethren, it's going to take us staying in God's word, meditating upon God's word in prayer, and staying faithful to him that will carry us through the storms of life. Next thing I want you to see, not only will the word of God help you and sustain you and carry you through any situation, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 17, if you flip back over there, look what else this water does. So not only does this water bear up the ark and carry the ark through the storms, literally, look what else this water does. The Bible says in verse number 20 of chapter 7, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. It went about 25, 26 feet above the highest mountains. And the Bible says in verse 21, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So notice first this morning, we looked at the waters as they came in. They bear up the ark and carry the ark through the storms, over the mountains, over the valleys. That ark is sustained and held up by those waters. But another thing that these waters do is in verse 21, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth. You know something else that the staying in the water of God's word will do? It'll help you bring your flesh into subjection and hopefully take it out. Staying in the word of God will help you keep your flesh in subjection. Take your Bible, look over at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. When those waters came in, it wiped out all flesh. It wiped all the flesh out. Brethren, look at Romans chapter 6. It is so, brethren, it is so, so important to stay around the things of God. So important to stay around the things of God, the truth of the things of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life is found in Jesus Christ. There is no other place where life is found but in Jesus Christ. Truth is found in Jesus Christ. The way is found in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here in Romans chapter 6, look what the Bible says here. Romans 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That is a question that Paul is asking the church. Two questions there, are three. He's asking the church brethren at Romans these questions. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid us as Christians, as believers, stay in sin in order for grace to abound. God help us to put sin to death in our lives and stop living in it. Too many are living in sin today that claim to be believers, and it's affecting not only their own life, but those around them, so that the world looks at them and says, why should I become a Christian? Because you're no different than me. And it brings a reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. Brethren, there ought to be a difference between you and this world. And if there's not a difference, something's wrong, either with your walk with Jesus Christ, or are you really saved? There ought to be a difference, brethren. And it's bringing a reproach to the name of Christ. Paul says here to these Christians here at Rome, he says, God forbid that we should continue in sin, that grace may abound. You know what a lot of people say that believe you can lose your salvation? Once saved, always saved. They look at it as like we're heretical. And they say, well, you can lose your salvation. But what I found, my dear brethren, and those that say they can lose their salvation are living more of a hellish life than those that try to say they can't lose it. Yeah. Brethren, I've seen it time and time again with those that believe they can lose their salvation. I had somebody one time come up. We used to have me and Melanie, we used to years and years ago when we first got saved, we got a little booth at a flea market in our hometown there. And we set up and we put out some tracts and we tried to witness the people. And somebody came by and said, no, we don't want nothing to do with this. You believe once saved, always saved. We believe you can lose your salvation. I said, well, you just lost it right there. Well, no, that's what I said to him. I said, so you never sin? They said, no, I never sin. I said, right there, you lost it. You're a liar. And they looked at me and they said, well, I don't sin. I just make mistakes. No, you sin. And you sin every day. Brethren, what does it take? Nobody can ever give me an answer on this. When do you lose it? Because they always, all of them always keep it. Not one of them ever loses it. I ain't found one yet that said, yeah, I've lost it. I was saved years ago, but I lost it. I ain't saved now. No, they're always saved. They're always secure. Brethren, the only thing that keeps you is Jesus Christ. If Adam and Eve could not keep it in a perfect world, how do you think you can keep it in an imperfect world? You can't. It is impossible for you to keep your salvation. Impossible. And if you could keep it, why did Jesus die on the cross? And what did his blood do? Did it wash away just the past sins and the sins right now? Is it just temporarily atoning for some sins? Or did Jesus Christ die for all sins? I believe that he died for all sins, past, present, and future. And when you get saved, you are now in Christ Jesus, and he's now in you. Brethren, you can't keep it. I can't keep it. Brethren, if we're honest with ourselves, we can't keep it for 5 minutes. You know what the Bible says? The thought of foolishness is sin. Let's not even go with our outward actions. Let's just go with our thought life. Sin, 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 ding, 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 guilty. There's no way you can tell me I've kept my thought life pure from the day I got saved. If you believe you can lose it, you're a liar. So what, didn't you get saved again? And then guess what? You just lost it 5 minutes later, and you need to get saved again. And then guess what? You need to get saved again. Brethren, this doctrine that believes you can lose your salvation is not honest with themselves. You're not honest with yourself. You're not honest with yourself. If you're honest with yourself, you realize it's only by the grace of God that you have eternal life. Only by the grace of God. And there's nothing you can do to keep it, to obtain it. It's all through Jesus Christ. Look what the Bible says next. Look what the Bible says. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So when you get saved, you're now baptized into Christ Jesus, and you're baptized into his death. Verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Have you been given, listen, when you get saved, you're born again of God. Listen, you're a new creature in him. Old things passed away. All things become new, and you now have the ability, because you're now in Christ Jesus, to walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Look what the Bible says in verse 6 now. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin it might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now see, this is where people get tripped up. Then the reason they say you can lose your salvation is because, if they're honest, they say, well, you still sin. Yes, I sin in my flesh. You see, my flesh has not been born again. My flesh has not been redeemed. My flesh has not been changed. When I got saved 20-some years ago, listen, when I got up from that altar, went back to my seat, guess what? I still had the same body I had when I walked down that aisle. Still the same body. And this is what gets people tripped up, is they look at this flesh and they see, listen, I can't keep it because of what I see in my flesh. Well, we're not looking at our flesh, because our flesh is corrupt. But if you've been born again of God, you've been born again in the Spirit. and that is which you cannot see. It says, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from this period forward, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Let me ask you this question. Did you die in Christ Jesus? If you died in Christ Jesus, then you are dead to sin. You're dead to it. Look what the Bible says. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now look what verse 8 says. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. How many times, brethren, did Jesus Christ have to die? Once. Once for all. Look. Brethren, what does his blood cover? What did his blood make an atonement for? It made an atonement for sin. Yes. Once for all. Yes. He doesn't have to go back to the cross again like the Catholic Church does every week. He doesn't die again. He doesn't shed his blood again. It was shed once for all sins. And I'm going to give you something else, brethren, and I'm not going to go into this study today, but I have yet to hear a preacher preach on this subject. But it's something that I always in the back of my mind, and very rarely do I even hear a preacher talk about it. But I believe this, brethren, I believe you can show it from Scripture, that your names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. This song says that there's a new name been written out. The name's there. What you find in your Bible is that name getting blotted out. You don't ever find it getting written in. You find it getting blotted out. So that means that Christ Jesus, from the foundation of the world, he knew that his blood was going to have to be shed for the sins of all mankind, from Adam to the last person that's born, that his blood was shed for that sin. The names are there, and when you reject Jesus Christ or you reject God, your name is blotted out. Brethren, you're secure in Jesus Christ. Look what the Bible says next. You're dead with him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Brethren, when you're in Christ Jesus, death hath no more dominion over you. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death has no more dominion over you. Death and hell have no more hold over you no more if you're in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth, he believeth unto God. Look what verse 11 says. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look what the Bible says. Let not sin therefore reign in where? In your mortal body. You know why? Because sin has no part no more in your spirit. Because your spirit cannot sin. Look what the Bible says. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Take your Bible, flip over to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. What does staying in the water of the Word of God do? Number one, it helps you see what you have in Jesus Christ. And listen, when you stay in the water of God's word and you allow it to wash you and cleanse you and keep you clean before the Father and the Son, listen, making yourself pure even as he is pure, listen, it'll take care of flesh in your life. You want to bring flesh into subjection? Stay close to Jesus Christ and stay in the word of God. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8. Look what the Bible says here. 1 John 3, verse number 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Look what verse 9 says now. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Are you born again of God? Then you don't sin in the spirit. You can't sin. It's impossible. Your spirit has been born again of God. And the Bible says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I am safe, I am secure in the Lord Jesus Christ and what his blood did for me. I cannot sin. Sin hath no more dominion over me. Now, I'm still in his flesh, but I now have the power of God, or the ability through the power of God, to bring this flesh into subjection and live a holy and godly life unto Jesus Christ. The ability is now there. Now, how often do we avail ourselves of what we have now in Jesus Christ? That's another story. But my spirit, it cannot sin because I'm born of God. Brethren, if you can lose it, you'd have to unborn yourself of God. How do you do that? How do you stop being a person that has been born of God? You cannot change that. You have been born again by the Spirit of God, and you cannot sin in your spirit. Take your Bible, stay in the same book. Look over at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 18. 1 John 5, and look at verse number 18. 1 John 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So we see here that the devil cannot steal what you have in Jesus Christ. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, and we know that the Son of God is come, and look what the Bible says, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And look what the Bible says, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and what? Eternal life. Now, stay with that thought and flip back over to the first part of chapter 5 and look at verse number 11. 1 John 5, 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. What do you have when you get saved? You have now, present, eternal life in Jesus Christ. I'm secure, I'm safe, and I have this very moment today, I have eternal life. And nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. I cannot even separate myself if I wanted to. It is impossible. I am now, we looked at it last week and looking again here this morning. It is impossible me to want to lose it or to try to lose it to do it. I can't because I have eternal life. Look at what the Bible says next, verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, I'm not very smart, not a smart man. But one thing I know is if I have the Son, I got life. If I don't have the Son, I don't have life. Do you have the Son of God this morning? If you have the Son of God this morning, you have life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Look what it says, that ye may know that ye have, or it doesn't say will have, it says that ye have eternal life. You have eternal life today if you are in Christ Jesus. Flip back over to Romans chapter 6 real quick here this morning. Look at verse 13 now. Look, that ark, bear up that ark, and that those waters of the word washed away at all flesh. All flesh died. You are daily to take this flesh and to put it on that cross and take this flesh out and live in newness of life. Look at verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield unto God. Don't yield yourself to instruments of unrighteousness. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Brethren, and I have yet to find a Christian who's truly born again of God, who says, you know what, now that I got liberty, let me just go hog wide out here in this world. I have yet to find one of them either. Because another one of their arguments that believe you can lose your salvation is, well, then you can just go out there and sin like you want and nothing's going to happen to you. No, you can't. Not if you're truly His. Brother, I can't go out there and do what I want to do. Sure, I can go out here tonight and go down into one of the bars and get drunk, but God's going to be all over me, and it's going to be one of the most miserable days of my life. Listen, once you get saved, sin never has the same taste that it used to have. It doesn't. It just doesn't have the same taste no more. You can't just go out there and partake of it like you used to without you feeling some type of guilt on the inside because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. It's just not the same once you're born again of God. Brethren, there's a difference that occurs when you get saved. Verse number 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants. Look what the Bible says there. I want you to pay attention. Verse 17, but God be thanked, look at that, ye were. I underline that in my Bible. Ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were, there's those words again, ye were. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brethren, what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? It says, and it shows plainly, that it gives you the ability, now that you're saved, of who you're going to yield to. Verse 13 says yield twice. Verse 16 says yield. Verse number 19 says yielded and yield. Five times there, in those short few verses, you have that word yield. You know, when you get saved, it all comes down to who you yield yourself to now. You can now yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and the direction of God through His Word, or you can wake up every morning and yield yourself to this flesh and the sin that you can commit in this flesh, but guess what? The end of that is death. If you continue in sin in this flesh, it's going to lead to death. But if you subject yourself and you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God, listen, you can now live in a newness of life and live a life that'll bring glory on honor unto Jesus Christ. And yes, this flesh at some point might have to cross or be put in a grave, but you now are born again of God and you can do what God desires for you to do. Take your Bible now and go back to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, and Genesis chapter 8. I want to look at this real quick this morning. Genesis chapter 8. Stay in the Word of God. Look here at Genesis chapter 8 now. Genesis 8, verse number 1. The Bible says, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. So the ark comes to rest here. God has stopped the rain and the waters from coming down from above and from beneath. And God has made the storm to cease. And God's brought a strong wind in and the waters be taken away. And the Bible says here in verses 6 and 7 that it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Now, hold your hand here and look over at Leviticus chapter number 11. Leviticus 11 and verse number 15. Leviticus 11, verse 15. Actually, verse 13, I'm sorry. Leviticus 11, verse 13. The Bible says, "And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten, they are an abomination. The eagle, and the osprey, and the osprey, and the vulture, and the kite after his kind, and every raven after his kind." This raven here, brethren, ravens do not have a good context in the Word of God. The Bible says that Noah, after those 40 days, he opened up that window, and he's going to end up sending out two birds out of that window. The first one he sends out is a raven, and that raven goes out that window, and it goes, the Bible says, to and fro, but it doesn't come back to Noah. Ravens in the Word of God, like I said, aren't seen in a very good light. And I believe often in the Word of God, they represent evil spirits or something that is wicked and not right. And this raven goes out and he goes to and fro until all the waters are drying up. You know, I've heard some preachers say that there possibly could still have been some decay and breaking down of things. And who knows what was out in those waters. But that raven rested upon possibly those things that were out there in those waters instead of returning back to the ark. And it is shown in the scripture that the dove could find no place to rest its feet, yet the raven is able to survive. How is it that the dove can be released back out there? Realize it can find no rest for the soles of its feet, and it returns back to Noah. Yet the raven is sent out free, and it finds itself at home out there wandering to and fro. You know what you often find in churches where a preacher's not big on a checklist? Eventually you find out where people's hearts are at. I've been in churches and I've seen churches before and preachers before, man. They got a checklist and they hammer all kinds of things. And they try to run a tight ship so that visiting preachers come in, they'll think that they run a tight ship and most people there are holy and doing what was right with God because they dress right and they talk right. But that means nothing before God. It don't matter if you got a suit and tie on, you got your white shirt on because that's what the preacher wants. He wants everybody to wear a white shirt because colored shirts are ungodly. Or tassels on your shoes, or you're wearing wired rim glasses. Brethren, the list goes on and on and on with Independent Baptist preachers. You got a television in your home, you're wicked. If you go and shop here, you're wicked because they got alcohol. Brethren, they got all these convictions and all these checklists to try to run a tight ship, but that does not mean you have a walk with God.
That'll help you right there.
And I'm serious as I can be. You can have your, listen, brethren, my pastor also said this. He said, you'll see pride creep up in the Amish. And they all wear the same thing. But my purple's a little bit sharper than your purple. And my dress is a little more iron than your dress. And my hat's a little bit more. It creeps up anywhere, brethren, pride. And brethren, this raven, when it's finally released and it has freedom, you find out where it goes. And when you find out you got freedom, you're going to go where you... What are you hanging around? Are you hanging around death and destruction, or you want to hang around the things of God? You see, that dove could find no rest out there in that world, and it comes right back to Noah. But that raven goes out, and he's going to and fro, finding what he can find and live his life like he wants to live his life. Take your Bible, look at Isaiah chapter 34, and look at verse number 10. Isaiah 34, and look at verse number 10. You really do find out where people are at when you give them liberty. It might not happen overnight, but it comes around to where it brings destruction. Isaiah 34 and verse number 10. Now I'm going to say this, brethren. A preacher ought not to keep you in check. Let me explain what I mean. There's a lot of preachers out there that, look, there's some preachers out there believe that they can come in your home and do go in the homes of their members to check and make sure that everything's right and kosher, for lack of better words, in their home. God forbid, I'll never do that. By God's grace, I never, What you do in your home, that's your business. Brethren, it is not my job to keep you in check. And to make sure that you're living holy for God, so as not to make me look bad. Brethren, you know who keeps me in check? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God keeps me in check. Brethren, I can't get away with a wrong thought and attitude. I can't get away with it. If I got a wrong attitude or thought, the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, yeah, you got the wrong spirit there, son. You need to get that right. Yep, son, that wasn't the right way to handle that. You shouldn't have said it like that. That wasn't right. The way you said it was not right. It might have been truth, but the way you said it wasn't right. I can't get away with nothing. Because when you get saved, it's the Holy Spirit of God that keeps you in check. Now, Isaiah 34, this is another reference to a raven. Look what it says in verse 10. It's talking about, look, those that are in the lake of fire and brimstone. Look what the Bible says in verse 10. It shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation, it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. One thing I know is I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm glad I have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Because those that think that, listen, we'll just have a big old party, I'll meet you down there in hell, you're a fool and you don't know what the Word of God says. You don't know what the Word of God says. Brethren, I cannot imagine, Luke chapter 16 gives us a slight picture or view into it. I cannot imagine the rejection of God, much less the punishment that comes after it. Brethren, there's a real heaven and there is a real hell. One thing I also find interesting, brethren, I ain't never been to a funeral where somebody's gone to hell. Never. Never. I'd love to ask some funeral directors if they've ever heard somebody say, yep, I know where they're at this morning. Brethren, I've been to some funerals with some bad people. I'm talking about gangster guys. I'm talking about guys that have been involved in horrific stuff. Yet you get up there and they played the drums in the church and they loved Jesus and they were in the choir. Yeah, and they also killed five people and did all this other horrific stuff. But when it comes to the funeral time, when they're there, yep, they're going to heaven. God help us today, brethren. God help us today. You know, as I close up this morning, look at Job chapter 1 and verse number 7. Job 1 and look at verse number 7. There's somebody else in the Bible that goes to and fro. Just like this raven goes to and fro out there in this world that had just been destroyed, here we find the devil, Satan. Look at Job chapter 1 and look at verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Walking about as a lion seeking whom he may devour. Going to and fro, up and down through this earth, looking for one that he can devour and destroy. Brethren, that raven goes out and it goes to and fro. You know what, brethren? It makes me wonder, as I close up here this morning, and we're going to look at two more scriptures. It makes me wonder today if Satan himself is behind the majority of what is reported as news and knowledge today in both our society and in our churches. In our society and in our churches. And I'll show you what I mean. Look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 4. Looking at this term, to and fro. Look at Daniel, book of Daniel, chapter number 12. And look at verse number 4. Daniel 12, verse number 4. Look what the Bible says here. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run, oh, here we go again, to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge shall be increased. Many, in the times about, Daniel got that revelation from God, and God says, you know what, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Why? Because Daniel, I don't want people knowing about what I told you. He says, sealed up, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Shut up the words. Because many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You know what knowledge brings into your life? If it's not the knowledge that's coming from God, hold your hand here and look over at Ecclesiastes 1. Look what knowledge produces. Ecclesiastes 1, and look at verse number 18. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 18. Look what knowledge produces. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 18. This is why I say often, turn off your TV and get away from it. Because look what the Bible says. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. How many good things do you see on television? Thank you, Miss Cheryl. Absolutely. 99.99% of it is going to bring sorrow. It's going to bring grief. It's going to bring a sense of hopelessness. Just watch the evening news. 99.9% of it is who got shot. The economy's going down the toilet. The president did this. Congress is passing that. This is going here. Traffic jam over here. We're going to have a storm on Thursday. Why even get out of bed? This war is going on over here. Ukraine's doing this over here. Russia's doing this over here. China's building this over here. Japan's building up their forces over here. Australia thinks they're in the... And what does it steal from us? It steals from us our joy. It gets our eyes on what's going on around us rather than looking for that blessed hope and staying joyous and glad and keeping... Look, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know why a lot of Christians lose their joy? They lose their happiness. They lose their gladness. It's because they got too much knowledge that God never intended for them to have. It's the simplicity in Christ Jesus. You know where we're at today? We're just like it was at the times of Christ. And I'm going to close with this last verse here. I look at the book of Acts and look at chapter 17 and look at verse number 21. A lot of my independent Baptist friends are right here in Acts 17, verse 21. And I'm going to pray as your pastor that you don't get caught up in it. Acts 17, verse 21. Remember, that raven went to and fro. The devil goes to and fro and up and down in the earth. Daniel said, the Lord told Daniel, in the latter days they shall go to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Look at Acts 17, verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Well, did you hear the latest news on this? Did you see the latest thing on this? Did you see? Stick with the old paths. Stick with the Word of God and the things you know that are safe and secure and that won't bring strife, that won't gender questions. Stay with those things that you know that are solid in the Word of God and look to Him and get courage and encouragement from this precious book and our walk with our precious Savior. So that the devil does not steal your joy as he goes to and fro in this earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for this precious book. Lord, help us to glean these things, dear God. Lord, help us to stick with the old paths. Lord, help us to stick with this precious word that you've given us, Lord. Lord, help us to walk in the light of it. Lord, help us not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices, dear Lord, lest he should get an advantage over us. Lord, help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, dear God. And Lord, help us to put the emphasis where the emphasis needs to be put, dear Lord, on the things that are important. Lord, help us not to get caught up in some new thing or to hear some new thing or to tell of some new thing, dear God. Lord, help us to put on the full armor and help us to walk in the light of your word. We ask you now for wisdom and guidance and help, and we pray it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.